It's the IMAO podcast. Yeehaw!
It's IMAO for your iPod. That's right, this is the second IMAO podcast. This time we're experienced and actually know what we're doing. Plus, joining us is Right Wing Duck, the funniest conservative duck out there. Other than Mallard Fillmore. As good as our first podcast was, I can tell you with great certainty that this one is 2 times better. We'll have to wait for the third podcast, though, to find out whether that one is 3 times as funny, indicating a directly proportional growth in podcast funniness, or 4 times as funny, indicating an exponential growth in IMAO podcast awesomeness. If the growth is exponential, in a few weeks, the IMAO podcast will be so totally sweet that to listen to it will cause you to die from pure ecstasy. For now, just get ready for some pure podcasting excellence.
This IMAO podcast is brought to you by ThoseShirts.com, your one-stop shop for high-quality, professionally silk-screened political and blog t-shirts. Buy the new IMAO's Top 10 Gun Safety Tips t-shirt from ThoseShirts.com. ThoseShirts.com, effing the ineffable since 1991. Frank Discourse, a roundtable discussion of whatever topics Frank J. and the bloggers at IMAO want to talk about, is brought to you in part by Skype. The bloggers at IMAO and more than 29 million of their close personal friends use Skype for voice chat on the internet. Try Skype today for free at www.skype.com. Skype, free internet telephony that just works.
This is Frank Topics with your host, Frank Jett. Today I'm going to talk about the impending theocracy that is about to beset our nation. There have been many misconceptions about it. For one thing, a theocracy does not involve the son from the Cosby Show. Instead, it is a rule by religious fundamentalists. Now, I myself am a religious zealot, but I have not heard anything about this theocracy that all the left-wing nutsos have assured me is coming. Am I being left out or something? I just don't get this. I mean, the theocracy is coming. I hear this over and over. I guess I'll just have to head it up since no one else seems to be prepared. For those not sure what to expect, in a theocracy, all authority will be left to God. God is extremely powerful. Some theologians say he's even more powerful than the Incredible Hulk. And you don't want to mess with him because he'll lay his wrath on you with plagues of locusts, boils, and badgers. That's why in the theocracy I'm organizing, it will be mandatory to fear God at all times. If you do not sufficiently fear God, you will be beaten by a stick as ordered in the Book of Numbers. Numbers is so boring, no one's going to be able to read it all to prove I'm wrong. Also, you must love Jesus. You know, in a platonic way. That means obeying all his rules, such as being humble and not fornicating and, you know, not beating up poor people. In my theocracy, if you are found not to sufficiently love Jesus, you'll be executed, but in a compassionate way, like Jesus would want. Of course, neither God nor Jesus will be able to personally run theocracy, so that will fall on me, the prophet Frank. Everyone will have altars in honor of me in their homes, with incense and offerings of jelly beans. And no one else can be named Frank, because that's my name. If your name is currently Frank, it'll be changed to Narf, which is Frank backwards. K silent. Now, the important thing about the theocracy, other than honoring me, oh, and God and Jesus, will be the preparation for the rapture. That's when God comes to take all of us faithful. We'll make sure to have rapture warning sirens. Thus, you'll know when the rapture is happening and can make sure to be extra pious so, you know, God looks at you and goes,
"Hey, that guy looks nice and moral. Let's just send him in heaven. No reason to scrutinize him too much."
Because you don't want to go the other way. It's no good. If you aren't raptured, though, there'll be instructions on my front door on how to take care of my cat. And yes, you will have to change the litter box. Hey, if you didn't want to change the litter box, you should have been moral and followed Jesus. Anyway, I'd take care of your cat if I weren't raptured.
Maybe the kitties will come with us to heaven.
Oh no, when I said I'd devote my life to Jesus, that was under the understanding there'd be no cats in the eternal afterlife. If the place is going to be filled with cats, then the whole deal is off. Anywho, I'm Frank J., and now you know what I think, so you can think it too.
Welcome to American Monkey with your host, Space Monkey. That's me. Calling into the American Monkey Show is Republican Senator George Voinovich from Ohio. You may remember that he is a grown man who was crying on the floor of the Senate not too long ago for the nomination of John Bolton as the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Let me play you a clip.
Too many of my colleagues are not going to understand that this appointment is very, very important to our country at a strategic time when we need friends all over the world. And I know some of my friends say, don't let it go. George is going to work out. I don't want to take the risk. I came back here and ran for a second term because I'm worried about my kids and my grandchildren. And I just hope my colleagues will take the time to do some serious thinking about whether or not we should send John Bolton to the United Nations.
Joining me on the phone is Senator Voinovich. Hi, Senator. Are you crying, Senator?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Senator Voinovich, you've been called Voinovich. You've been called a crybaby. You've been called a whiny baby and a rhino. And that's just on the IMAO blog. Let me add a new one. You're a rhino baby. Why are you so afraid of John Bolton being ambassador to the UN that you would verbally emasculate yourself before America?
He's mean, Space Monkey. My grandkids. I care about friends. Space Monkey, that was mean what you said.
Senator... Senator, you look like you could use a tissue. Well, we have some tissues we were going to send to ConsoleGeorge.com. So you...
He's mean.
Well, that's just pathetic. Okay, I guess the interview is over. Not sure the crying and belly aching ever will be, though. Senator Voinovich, thanks for being on the first edition of American Monkey. I wish you good health, because I fear your heart probably won't be up to dealing with Bolton's final confirmation. Next time on American Monkey, we'll have more of the same. Or something entirely different.
Hi, this is Frank J. of IMAO, and I only support products that I personally use myself. That's why I recommend Tampax tampons for... Oh man, I should at least scan these things before I cash the check.
Hello, my name is Right Wing Duck, and I'm here to share the news. The Michael Jackson trial has come to a close. Now they're in the process of doing all the deliberating and trying to find out if he's guilty or innocent. What's odd is Michael Jackson spent a little bit of time in the hospital getting an IV put in. He hasn't been eating very well, and he's lost a lot of weight. He's been very weak. All this according to his dad, who I don't think should be saying this in public. If my son was going to go to prison, I wouldn't be walking around telling people, "Hey, my son's been really weak. You could hold him down with one hand." People ask, what is Michael going to do if this trial ends and it turns out that he gets off? How is he going to celebrate? Is he going to take time off? Is he going to travel, do a tour? Well, I think when you've been through all this, that you need to take some time off, just lean back and suck down a tall boy, which I think is how he got into this mess in the first place. We learned that Michael likes pornography. We learned that he likes Vaseline. And we learned that he likes the drink. So, what's his next step? House or Senate? Who knows? Maybe he'll go out and he'll record a new album. But you know what? Albums are so passé. Have you heard this? In England, the number one song on the music charts, it's a ringtone for a cell phone. It's outselling Coldplay 4-1. I don't know. Have you heard the ringtone? It's catchy. It's got a good tune. Better instruments. In other good news for Coldplay, it is still slightly ahead of the number 3 song, which is The Doorbell. But it better be careful, because the number 4 song is The Alarm Clock. And I think it's catching up because of all the snooze buttons. The Live Aid concerts are coming up. These are concerts held around the world and feature artists such as U2, Paul McCartney, Coldplay, and Elton John. One act that you won't see is the Spice Girls reunion. Promoters felt that they were not in keeping with the seriousness of the occasion. This is a concert. You want to show the seriousness of the occasion on World Hunger? Stop serving food! Can't you just see it now?
Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you... U2! Are you ready to rock?
Oh, we're hungry.
Are you ready to rock?
Oh, we're thirsty.
Yeah!
You want to make it relevant? Do this. Don't have food or water for sale. If they want food or water, they have to do what's happening in the third world. They have to go down to the United Nations tent at the front gate, and if they want something to drink, they have to sleep with a soldier from Nicaragua.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the seriousness of tonight's event, we will not be having the Spice Girls reunion. Instead, we have the country's number one act, the Ringtones! And here's their opening act, Coldplay!
Off in the wings, we hear the band members of Coldplay talking. Dude, I never thought that we'd be opening for a bunch of ringtones. Man, me too. Hey, I'm hungry. I'm going to the United Nations tent. How do you say food in Spanish? Thank you very much for tuning in to this week's IMAO.US Roundup. My name is Right Wing Duck, and I'm here to share the news.
This is Frank Knowledge with your host, Frank J., once again sharing my vast resource of wisdom with the world. Today I'm going to talk about something that affects us all, neutron stars. When a star finishes fusion on everything worth fusing, it will collapse. But stars not massive enough to collapse into a black hole can become a neutron star. In a neutron star, the atoms are torn asunder, so basically it's just a big ball of neutrons. It can be about the size of a city, yet weigh as much as three suns. NASA scientists say it is so dense that one teaspoon of its material would weigh as much as all the cars on Earth. Does that make any sense? Of course not. How in the world could they test that out? Because there's no teaspoon out there that could hold the weight of all the cars in the world. I took Sarah Kay's best measuring spoon and it couldn't even lift up one car.
You stay away from my measuring spoons.
Now let's say you were able to take a teaspoon of a neutron star. You know, maybe using some teaspoon made from the less super dense material of a white dwarf. How in the world are you going to weigh that to compare its weight to all the cars in the world? Are you going to put it on some bathroom scale and watch how many times the needle spins past 300? That's asinine. Sometimes I get the feeling that scientists just make all this stuff up. You know, I bet Stephen Hawking goes jogging on weekends. Now where was I? Well, sure you learned something by this point. Anyways, this is Frank J., and now you're just a little bit smarter.
Alright, so let me see if I get this straight. If we eliminate Social Security, then that will free up some money to give to my rich oil baron buddies and other big business... Hold on. Guys, I'll have to call you back. Come in.
Hi, honey. I have a surprise for you, George. Since you've been an extra good president lately and haven't blown hardly anything up in over a month, I made you some brownies. They're waiting for you in the kitchen.
You're the best first lady ever, Laura. Mwah! Well, now who turned the dang lights out here in the kitchen? I could... Wait, that doesn't smell like brownies. That smells like oil money and terrorism. I turn on the light. Dang it! Osama bin Laden stealing my brownies!
That's right. No chocolatey treats for you, infidel.
Hey, you get back here with my brownies. Laura made them for me. Those brownies are gonna ruin your blood sugar, dialysis boy. God dang it. This is the president. Get me the Pentagon. I'm gonna need Rummy to bomb the heck out of the Afghan-Pakistani border again. Oh, and send me up some Oreos, will you?
<laughs>
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week, I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting, yet completely useless and probably untrue, information about each of the 50 states. This week, we're taking the dog sled north to Alaska, so let's get started. Alaska is the northernmost of the 50 states and consists largely of a frigid, inhospitable wasteland, much like Bill Clinton's marriage. Before the Eskimos settled in Alaska, it was populated by a race of midgets, but they were all clubbed to death by baby seals and no record of their civilization remains. Alaskan Eskimos have over 200 different words for cold, all of which start with "damn." Most of the people who move to Alaska are criminals and con artists looking for a fresh set of unsuspecting victims, much like congressmen, except with parkas. The Alaskan state legislature is currently evenly split along party lines between moose and polar bears. Alaska is so big that it could hold Texas, Montana, and Nebraska and still have room left over for Arnold Schwarzenegger's bicep. It could even hold Michael Moore if you took out Texas. During World War II, the Japanese actually invaded Alaska, but all the Japanese soldiers were eaten by a giant radioactive lizard. Alaska became the 49th state on January 3, 1959, although it was two more years before their star thawed out enough for it to be sewn onto the flag. The fishing industry is Alaska's largest private employer. The second largest is importing mail-order brides from Russia. All the rivers in Alaska are permanently frozen over, making Alaska the only state in the U.S. where it's safe to ride in a car driven by Ted Kennedy. Every year, millions of salmon swim upstream into Alaska to return to their spawning grounds and flee the socialist oppression of Canada. If I remember correctly, Alaska's state flower is the forget-me-not. I'll let you think about that one for a minute. The official state sport of Alaska is dog mushing, which shouldn't be confused with puppy blending, the official state sport of Tennessee. The current official state motto of Alaska is North to the Future. The unofficial state motto is South to Somewhere Warm. Contrary to popular myth, there are no penguins in Alaska. Try looking in Gotham City. Alaska's name is based on the Eskimo word Alakshak, which means damn. Well, that wraps up the Alaska edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, we'll be heading to the desert southwest to take a look at Arizona. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go rescue a salmon from Canadian socialist oppression. Hey, you filthy Canuck, get your hands off that fish!
In the interest of balance and fairness and all that hooey, here's some liberal commentary from the hate-filled lefty.
Greetings, conservative idiots! You're gonna hear the truth for a change, so don't get all scared. First, I think it's great we now know who the hero Deep Throat really is. He brought down Nixon, the worst figure in history since Hitler at his time. Because now Bush is the most evil world leader ever. And if you don't realize that, then you're completely blind and stupid. But now, the truth is finally coming out. Yeah, a truth that'll finally sink the Bush administration. I mean, for reals this time, okay? Yeah, I had my hopes up on the past few scandals, you know? But this one will destroy them for sure. And no rigged voting machines will ever save Bush. Oh, what scandal am I talking about? The scandal of the lies of the Iraq War are finally being revealed over in England in the Downing Street memo. Yeah, that's right. But the problem is, I bet you red state retards haven't even heard about it because the conservative media won't report the Downing Street memo since they do everything they can not to anger Karl Rove. Yeah, luckily, the hero of John Conyers has a petition to make Bush answer for all the evil of the Downing Street memo. Yeah. Hopefully Bush won't kill him off, just like Bush did to Paul Wellstone. Man, poor Paul Wellstone. Yeah, but John Conyers,
That's enough, Muckadoo. Time's up.
Oh, yeah, well you're just one of Karl Rove's thugs, man, trying to suppress the truth, but I'm gonna show you.
And that concludes the left-wing part of this podcast. Please stay tuned for more of your regular, disproportionately right-wing commentary.
Reviews are groovy with Sarah Kay. A Ben Stiller movie is my topic today. Yeehaw!
I'm Sarah Kay, and reviews are fun, just like shooting. Today I'm going to review a movie that became an instant classic when it was released. It's Ben Stiller's magnum opus, Zoolander. The other day I was at Best Buy with Frank, and I said, "Oh, look, there's Zoolander, a movie near and dear to my heart." And Frank said, "Well, why don't you buy it? It's only $10. And I said, "Aw, but my debit card doesn't work." And he said, "Here, princess, I'll buy it for you. You're so sweet."
And you're sweet, too, you manipulative little.
Anyway, I watched it the other day, and it really made me think. It's really deep. I can really relate to that Derek Zoolander, because we're both models, though he's not a t-shirt model like me. And like Derek, I recently tried to reconnect with my estranged coal mining father.
Didn't I meet your father? And I thought he was in land developing.
You don't know anything about my father! Anyway, it also has Owen Wilson and a really dirty part at his house, which you should always fast forward through like I do.
How does the character arc of Derek Zoolander compare to that of Rick Blaine, Humphrey Bogart's character from Casablanca?
Well, things were much harder for Derek Zoolander because he was brainwashed to the song, "Relax, don't do it, when you want to go to it, yeah!"
Bow, bow, bow.
And at the end, Derek Zoolander was able to regain his confidence at being a male model. But at no time during Casablanca could Humphrey Bogart have ever pulled off being a male model. Maybe Jimmy Stewart, but not Humphrey Bogart.
Jimmy Stewart?
He's really, 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 really good looking.
So do you think this movie is a timeless classic like Gone with the Wind?
Well, I know I'm gonna watch it again.
Do I have to watch it with you?
Yes, and you'll like it. We'll have popcorn.
So how was the picture and sound quality of the DVD transfer?
A lot better than VHS.
And how were the special features on this DVD?
Well, they have this feature where they talk during the movie. I hate it when people talk during movies. Remember when you talked during the movie and I hit you?
Yeah.
Don't talk during movies. Well, that's all the time I have for today. So everyone go out and buy Zoolander, so maybe they'll make a sequel. They can call it, Dodgeball. Relax, don't do it. If it's cool, I'll review it. Yee-haw.
Bow, bow, bow.
Cindy Johnson was the average single mother devastated by the Bush administration's tax cuts for the rich. She had just put her three children to bed without dinner when suddenly...
Hello?
Good morning or afternoon or evening, sir or madam, as the case may be. I represent Speaker of the House Tom DeLay. He's making sure our country is on the right track with this call and covering up for unauthorized travel he's been doing lately. Oh, well, I don't think I was supposed to tell you that part.
Oh, isn't that cute? Pretending to care about me. What a cheap political trick. And to think I'd be paying for this phone call and your salary if I actually paid any taxes.
But a seemingly innocent phone call turned to danger.
Hello. Thank you for calling the Political Correctness Hotline.
Oh.
Please hold. Your emergency is very important to us. If this is an actual emergency, press or say one now. If you perceive a threat to your liberal worldview, press or say two now. If you perceive a threat to your liberal worldview is an actual emergency, press or say three now.
Three.
This is Detective Whiney of the Political Correctness Police. What is the nature of the threat to your worldview?
Oh, Tom DeLay's office is stalking me with his Republican ideals. He keeps calling me.
Mm-hmm. How many times has he called?
Well, once.
Okay, I see. Did he threaten you in any way?
Well, only with his extreme right-wing beliefs. Oh, dear sweet Mother Earth. Now they're talking about him on Law and Order. I can't escape Tom DeLay.
All right, well, yeah, that's bad. All right, we'll track him down. Do what we can, ma'am. Stay near the phone. And whatever you do, don't do... Well, I forget. Never mind. I'm sure it's not that important.
But what she didn't know was the danger was closer than it appeared.
Hello?
We've tracked Tom DeLay down. The calls are coming from inside the house.
This house?
No, Tom DeLay is in the House of Representatives right now. You better get out of the country now!
From acclaimed film director Michael Moore comes a new thriller, Deadly House Calls. Not even a do not call list can save you from the terror of Tom DeLay.
Welcome again to Frank Discourse. This is your host, Frank J., and with me today is Space Monkey.
Hi, y'all.
Harvey.
Yeah, can we cut to the chase? I got something else to do.
Right Wing Duck, who's Mexican.
Buenos dias. That means hello.
Sarah Kay.
Hi, y'all.
Our first topic today is Deep Throat, finally revealed. Now, Deep Throat is involved in this controversy with Nixon, who was president and left office well before I was born. And he, I guess, this Deep Throat informed on this scandal, which led to stuff happening, whatever that scandal was. And now it's revealed this guy who no one knew. We finally know who it is, and it's some guy I've never heard of. And I don't care about this at all. So why am I even talking about this subject? Harvey!
It's good blog fodder.
Hey, that Bush blog thing, that was pretty good. And then I just kind of zoned out for the rest of the week. It's like,
you got some good linkage from that.
Yeah, well, it was the first time ever Instapundit linked to an In My World. It's because I actually mentioned him in it. He did the first two. He didn't link to the third one or the podcast. I kept mentioning that. We got a podcast, by the way. Maybe you'd like to link to us. Michelle Malkin's nice. She actually, you know, I'll send her stuff and she'll link to it. But this time she linked to it, plus wrote back an email saying, hey, that was really good. She actually never ignores me, unlike Instapundit. Instapundit thinks he's so great. Here, make sure this is in the recording. Instapundit, he's a stupid puppy blender. I hate him. He thinks he's so great.
You know, he does keep the hobo population down, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Stay on topic.
Okay. Stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
Deep Throat.
Frank, you've turned off your comedy computer.
I'm sorry. I was trying to go with a force, but it was a bad idea. You know, those targeting computers, they're there for a reason. So, Deep Throat, we know who he is. How will this affect us in our daily life? Right Wing Duck.
You know, I guess the only thing effect it's going to have on us is just having to see this in the press and have them, you know, name an award after this guy and make him a hero.
Yeah, see, that is the thing. This is the press just celebrating themselves. They used to be able to take down a president, and now they can't even keep a chimp-faced guy who's just like Hitler from being reelected. Next topic, FEC regulation of blogs. Is this a good or a bad idea? Right Wing Duck.
Anytime the government wants to regulate something or supervise it, I cringe. Nothing good ever came out of government regulation.
Well, can't you admit that IMAO could use some better regulation? If the government took it over, it might, you know, have better updates, maybe better linking. What do you think, Harvey?
I think you might get around to finally updating your blog rule. All those dead links on the side, get rid of those. Get the FEC to help you out.
Well, will they do that? Because I'm all for it if they'll regulate my blog, because frankly, it's too much work for me. I have other things to do. Any final thoughts? Harvey?
If they can spend money on mohair subsidies, they should spend more money on regulating blogs, too.
Space Monkey.
FEC needs more letters. You can make a good word out of it.
Right Wing Duck, who is Mexican.
You know, if you say the word FEC out loud, it sounds like feck, feck. It's kind of cool because it's like almost profanity. But I can totally relate to what they're trying to do. They're trying to, I guess, subdue our influence as far as the blogs are concerned. And you really do want to know where that money's coming from. Like the other day, I was driving a BMW 325i with this smooth flowing power engine, 325 horsepower, and I was thinking, what if people are trying to buy influence with a sunroof, available matching interior?
Only I get to plug things, and only if they get me money. Yeah, feck all of it. Next topic, the Amnesty International had the gall, I say, to compare Guantanamo Bay, affectionately known as Gitmo, to a Russian gulag, if I said that right, or is it gulag?
It's like the opposite of a gulag.
How's it the opposite?
First of all, they make them do nothing, right? They sit in a cell all day.
And they're in sunny Cuba.
Not in Siberia.
But so, should it be more like a gulag? Should we rent out Siberia, you know, and be tougher on our terrorists?
How about Alaska?
No, I like Alaska. We need a drill there. We can't have drilling and terrorists in the same place where people are going to complain.
Make them build the pipeline.
Okay, make them drill. Talking. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Make them drill Anwar. I think that's a solution everybody can live with.
Oh, then it's ironic, too, because they're from the place where the other oil's from.
Yep, it's all about oil. Our whole point of invading Iraq was so we could capture terrorists to build our oil drills in Anwar. And then, you know, the conspiracy theorists, it was all about oil, but not in the way we thought. It was oil, labor, and Anwar.
Maybe they're just upset that there's no oil in Gitmo, so they don't feel at home. Because there's oil in Siberia, there's oil where they come from, there would be oil in Antwerp, so maybe that's a problem.
They're just out of place, feeling lonely
for home. They missed their oil.
Well, that ends Frank Discourse. We're sorry for the Mexican this time.
Hello.
We'll be back next week, where we talk about other topics that have to do with stuff that happened in the week between this week and that week. As we come to a close, it's time to reach into the email bag and see responses to our first podcast. Moto Politico writes, I'm against flushing Korans down the toilet. I think we should burn them in our public squares. Well, I'm afraid I have to disagree with that. Burning Korans could anger the Muslim street. I think we should stick to ceremonial flushings. JMK from Detroit, Michigan writes, so what's up with Sarah K? She's been such a wallflower as a member of your new group blog, and then she just comes out gangbusters and steals the show with your first podcast. She sings pretty, and she sure does know an awful lot about guns. Quite true on that last point, JMK. The reason Sarah K hasn't done as much on the blog is because she's nearly illiterate. Steve Laverne writes, were you not listening when Nancy Reagan said that you should say no to drugs? Good question, Steve, but unfortunately I couldn't hear her over the snorting of cocaine. Finally, venerable blogger Lawrence Simon writes about a problem with his podcast. He says, when I listen to it backwards, there aren't any satanic messages. We're sorry for that error, Lawrence. The problem is, it's very complicated to have humor on a podcast when it's played forward, and yet messages to worship Satan when played backwards. Hopefully computers will make that easier in the future. The best I can do for you now is this next statement. Yes, mushrooms and life is good. Play that backwards and have some fun. If you have a comment or question for us, just email podcast@imao.us. That's podcast@imao.us. Include your name in town, and you could be on the next broadcast. Well, that's all for this podcast. Remember,
be on the ball, running.